name of the one God, living and true, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In this day and age, we have a lot of friends, especially if you subscribe to Facebook. Last I checked, I had some several hundred friends. But frankly, there are a whole lot of them I don't barely even know, if I've ever met them. Some of them are on the other side of the world. They asked to be my friend, and I said, sure. And a click, and suddenly, we're friends. This whole thing that we have in our day and age seems to trivialize this notion of friendship. Friends in the ancient world, where Jesus lived and spoke and taught, and for hundreds of years before Jesus, friend had a very specific meaning. And it was a meaning that was so important, but one didn't use the term friend lightly. Certainly not the way we toss the term around today. Even in our conversations, sometimes I catch myself saying, oh yes, we're friends. Then I have to say, no, we're not friends, we're acquaintances. We've met each other, I know who they are. But that's as far as it goes. I may be able to identify them by face, I may know where they live, what they do, but that's about it. That would hardly qualify as friendship in this ancient understanding of the word. The old philosophers, way, way back, even before Jesus, counted friendship among the highest forms of human relationship. Sometimes they counted it even over and above the relationship between spouses in marriage. There was nothing more sacred than being a friend. And so the term friend was fraught with meaning and indeed meant something quite profound. We approach something like that in our own time and experience. Those who had the good fortune along the way to live in a residential boarding school, for example, as is more common, say, in England than it is here in our country, these would have grown up together. They'd gone up the grades together. They would have even lived together. They ate together. They played together, they learned together. So you were there a lot. You were with each other, not only physically, but you became to be with each other emotionally and mentally as well. And it was in this way that a particular school would not only instill knowledge, but also a certain way of acting, a certain ethos, we call it. And so you could always say, he's an Eton student. Sometimes it was by the tie they wore, but more often than not, it's the way they acted. Sometimes it wasn't always great, but in point of fact, you could identify them. And they had this common bond, this shared heritage. They enjoyed it, and it meant a great deal to them. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer of the 20th century, uses this notion of the boarding school and the notion of friendship that we have with those kinds of friends to indicate to us what the love of friendship is about. Perhaps, you know, in our own nation and culture where public education is important, and most of us attended public schools, or at least very large parochial schools along the way, not residential schools, most of us. Perhaps the next best description of it would be for those who served in the military. Because when you serve in the military, it is essential that you put down your individuality in such a way you don't lose it entirely, but really you're always looking out for the common good. In fact, you have to look out for one another. That's kind of where we get the term, I have your back. The idea being that when you are in the pitch battle, you need people whom you can trust on either side of you. Because in point of fact, you have entrusted your life into their hands. And you need to be there for one another. That is friendship. And we see that, for example. I know my own dad, who fought in the Second World War. He still remembered people that he was in battle with. He remembers not only his leaders, his commanders, but the enlisted souls who were with him. Some of them he kept in touch with for quite a long time. I didn't attend a boarding school, but I do have a couple of friends like that. One of them, a lifelong friend. So much so that I feel like I am part of their family. They have taken me in. I have had the privilege of marrying their children, of baptizing their grandchildren, of doing all kinds of things for them because I am a priest and I have that privilege. But regardless of my walk in life, I would have been there to do anything for them that they ever needed, and they for me. These kinds of friends are rare. They are certainly not as common as Facebook friends. But it is this kind of friendship of which Jesus speaks when he calls those first disciples friends. You are my friends, Jesus tells those apostles. It is that kind of profound love that says that he is willing to do anything for them. And if they would be his friends, they would do anything for him. And it is in the exchange of that emotion, of that willingness, of that sense of the will, that the friendship is created and the bonds tether people together. That's a very special thing in the church. Because the very thing on which that friendship floats, sort of the waves along the way, if the friendship is a ship going along, it is on the sea of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that supports the friendship. It is, in fact, the Holy Spirit that is the substance of that friendship in the church. We, you and I, share that life and share that spirit. And so it is because of that sharing that Jesus, through the centuries, looks at us today and calls us friend. Friend. If we have trivialized the notion of friendship through our social media and all the other things that we do, it is important for us to recover at least this notion, because it is our identity. It is who we are. In fact, it's so important for our mission and our ministry that we need to look at yet another example of the title, friends. In the Middle Ages, when kings reigned supreme, and queens had absolute power, there was more noble title than to be elevated to the rank of friend. That's with a capital F. You were a friend of the king. The reason this was so important was because in this notion of friendship, there is a deep level of trust. There is a deep level of being able to open yourself in vulnerability to be deeply honest with another person. And it was the friend of the king who became the most earnest counselor, who understood the king or the queen and all of their foibles, their weaknesses. And it was the king who would ask for their advice. And in giving the advice, usually whispered into the ear of the king or the queen, that the king could decide. To have such a privileged position requires that there is a deep level of trust. When we think of that, and we may want to say that Jesus is king, as we have acclaimed after the gospel lesson, that we are friends, that Jesus is ready and willing to confide in us the innermost secrets of his heart, which is the heart of God. And we then should be willing to confide in him. As we do so, we develop this trust, we with him and he with us. And that trust is the basis of nothing else but faith. That's what faith is. It is trust, trust in God. And we learn to trust this way as we learn friendship among ourselves. When we open ourselves to vulnerability, when we confide in one another, and when we have each other's back, when we face the world from the vantage point of the good news of Jesus. This trust is what binds us together. This common faith is what makes us the church. And it is then that we can whisper into the ear of Christ, and then Christ whispers to our heart what we are to do. That command is a simple one from Jesus. Love one another. This love is part of this friendship. In fact, it is the very basis, the substance of it. Without this love, we cannot claim to be friends. Jesus has called us into this relationship, and we stand next to him as friends of the king. We stand next to him as buddies in battle. We stand next to him as lifelong companions. And it is in this earnest friendship that Jesus strengthens us for the work of the kingdom of God. In a few days, 2 weeks hence actually, we will celebrate the great feast of Pentecost. When we recall how the Spirit came upon those first disciples, and they lost all their fear and proclaimed the good news in many languages and eventually in many lands, may that same Spirit come to us and fill us with that same courage, that same love, that we may be for one another true friends, all because Jesus has called us to be friends to him. May that same Spirit give us what we need to heal our broken world. May that same Spirit make us friends, not only of one another, but of the poor, the lonely, the suffering, the outcast. Let us be friends as Jesus is friend, and give our life to God.